Amen.
They call it the quiet number.
Oh, that's right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before our God. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today. As this word
brings life
to my spirit.
In
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Andrew did a great job last week. I tell you what, he did a good job. Good job. I tell you, it's been 3 weeks since I've been in the pulpit. So you better be ready. No. Oh. Watch out. Yeah, no, I tell you, I appreciate and I covet your prayers, praying for Jelaine and I and our whole family during this time. You know, it's rough. It's rough. I mean, it hit us hard. But you know what? God is still on the throne. And we thank God for leading us and guiding us. And, you know, hopefully next week we'll have more people back. And then next week more, you know, just it takes time. I told them, you know, take your time. Take care of yourself. Make sure you're good, you know, and stuff. So, you know, people are more important than having people sit in a chair. People are more important. And pastors need to realize that people are the most important thing, not God. I'm not saying not God. You know, we know God is. But the people that we shepherd, that they're the most important thing that God could give to you. And I tell you, I appreciate you, all your prayers that you prayed for us, doing things for us, bringing food and praying and helping us in all areas. And even our family, you know, just bringing stuff. My brothers came and cut my yard. And I mean, just stuff, you know, and seen some great things. And I would ask you to please pray for Jelaine and the family during this week, if you don't mind, lifting them up and asking God. Death is always hard. Doesn't matter, even though we know that they will enter the portals of heaven, it's still a hard thing because you miss. You know, here, you miss. And it's hard. And everybody has been hit with death at one point in time in your life. So you know what we're going through, what Jelaine and him are going through. But we covet your prayers that God is still on the throne.
Amen.
No matter what. No matter what. God offers hope to us. Doesn't matter what we go through or what happens in our life, good or bad, God always offers hope, and especially to his children. That we have something to hang on to and put our hands on and tighten with. We have hope with our God. So whatever we go through, no matter what happens, good or bad, God gives us hope that there is an end to the end and that God is there in the midst of all things we go through. You know, some things I don't want to go through. And I'm sure there's a lot of some things you don't want to have to go through. But for whatever reason, we know our God is in charge. And he will allow us sometimes to go through and maneuver through some things to better us off in the end. Because you see, our God takes care of all things that need to be taken care of. No matter what happens, that we can have hope in our God.
Amen.
We can have hope in him no matter what. Amen. How's she doing, Lil Piper? Okay. She's full and clean.
That's a good
two great things. Now there's hope. There's hope that she will not cry. There's hope. Yeah, amen. But there's hope in our God no matter what happens, people. No matter what happens in government, no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens next year or next week or next month, whatever happens to us personally or to our family sometimes, that there is hope in our God. There's hope in Him that we can trust Him no matter what. The Word says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead us not into temptation. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Trust in Him no matter what. That our hope is in Him. Hebrews 11:1, talking about faith and hope. Thank you. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, with the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, with the evidence of things not seen. Let me tell you this. I can hope in my God for anything that He puts upon my heart to hope in Him for.
Amen.
Now you might say, what do you mean? I can hope in my God for all the things that He's put in this Word and claim it for myself, claim it for our church, claim it for our community. We can do that. We can claim and have hope in all the things that He puts upon our hearts. Now, let me tell you this. We have this thing going around with churches and people claiming all kinds of stuff, and it doesn't mean a hill of beans to God. You know, you hear people, well, you know, I'm praying that God will let me win the lottery. Then I'm thinking, why are you spending money on that anyway? Why? Or I'm praying God will give me a new car. And, you know, hey, look, or whatever. You know, God is a faithful God, but it has to be, our hope has to be in what He tells us. Not in what we tell Him. Now, it does say, remind Him of His Word. But that means He's already given that Word.
Yes,
we don't tell God what to do.
Amen.
We don't twist His hands and try to change His mind. He tells us what to do and how to do it and when to do it. See, we're not the pilot. He is the pilot. We might be the co-pilot. Because He's given directions to us. You see, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. We got to be led by the anointing of God. We got to be led by the presence of God. And letting God be God and doing what He wants to do.
Amen.
We got to remember, the church world needs to forget that we can change the mind of God.
Amen.
That what He orders, He orders. And what He sets, He sets. And what He wants to do, He will do. And He will get the job done. God says in the last days that He will pour out His Spirit upon all mankind. That means He's looking for a people that will call upon Him. He's looking for a people that will clean out their hearts and say, Lord, help me to live a life that is pleasing and cleanse my heart and soul for You, Lord God. To be that vessel that God can use and do mighty things through. Now you might say, well, Pastor, are we ever going to be perfect? Never, never, never. Because we are living in a fallen state right now. Yes, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But we still, because of Adam and Eve, in that fallen state. But God is coming, and He's going to split those eastern skies. And once He splits those eastern skies, we will be called up unto Him, and we will ever be with our God. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Wherever you are in your walk, not run with Christ. He is ever building our faith and hope in Him. You know, walk with the Lord. Just walk with Him. It says Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the day. They didn't run. Because when you're walking, you can still talk. You can still communicate. When you're running, it's hard. You can't really do it that well at all, if at all, as you're running. Our walk with him. That means we might be like turtles, but we're going to get where we need to get. We don't want to be a rabbit running because we might get killed on the road, not looking what's going on. You know, you see a turtle crossing the road and you're going, oh, poor thing, you know, I don't know if he'll make it. But still, he's slow and steady, and usually they get across. We need to be like some turtles a little bit, you know. Yes. Amen. Well, that's okay. That's okay. You have to cross the road. I understand. But, you know, let's take our walk with him seriously, people. Come on now. God is looking for a people that will not serve him just for what they get. Ooh. You have a lot of the church world, Christendom, that is serving God and in church today for what they can get from him. What a shame. Our God is not a pimp. Huh? Our God is Savior and Lord. And he's looking for a people that will be sold out to him. My God. My God. Sold out. That's okay. She's full. And she's clean, that we know of. So, amen. So here we have to walk with our God and letting God do a mighty. And look, and sometimes we don't realize because we're going slow that we've gone far. Sometimes we don't realize we get up and we pray, or we pray during the day or whatever, and we're reading our Bibles, and we don't realize how far we've come. But God knows. God knows. He starts cleaning us up. We're not living like we used to live. We're not saying the things that we used to say anymore. We're not cussing like we used to cuss, huh? And doing evil in the sight of the Lord. My God. But God is working in us and through us. In us and through us as we trust in what Christ did at Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. Victory comes through what Jesus did and not what we do. Okay? People try to say, well, if I do this, this, and this, I'll gain victory. It won't happen. I'm telling you, it will not happen. It will not happen. You might go a day or two, or you might go 6 months, but you will come back to that circle. You can't pray enough. You can't read enough. You can't fast enough. Now, all those things are good things that we need to do. But it's only through the cross of Calvary, that victory, true victory. He's the only one that can take the desire out. That's the deal. Take the desire out and you don't want it. You don't want it. You know, that's like God taking the desire out, and this is a hard one. For boiled crawfish. Lord, I can't take this. We need boiled crawfish. But just think, if he took the desire out, that means you don't want it. Okay? You just don't want it. It's like you could smell it. Ooh, you could. You just don't want it. Okay, we don't want that, though. Look at Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 1, people. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there near unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered unto the swine, and herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they who fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and see him who was possessed with the devil had the legion sitting, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they who saw it told them how it befell to him who was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he who had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to your friends, tell them how great things the Lord has done for you, and has compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Here we see a great thing that happened to a man. Great thing that happened to a man. Here we see a mighty move of God.
Amen.
Here we see where Jesus said, I need to go to the other side. There was a man there that needed him. We don't know. We know this man from what they tell us in the story, and I hate to say story, in the true story, of this man was possessed by a devil. Legion. That was the head, that was the name of the head demon in there. There was many, 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 many demons inside of him. We don't know how this happened to this man, but something happened. And here he was. He would break chains as they would try to chain him. He wouldn't keep clothes on. He wouldn't take a bath. He lived among the tombs. That means a graveyard. My God. But you see how important people are to God and to Jesus. There are three, yet one. How important people are to God. And how people should be important to us. We may not believe all the same. We may not see things eye to eye, everything. But I tell you what, we need to make people important into our lives, that we take some kind of importance in them. And here we see Jesus went to the other side. And immediately, immediately, this man full of demons, legions of them, as Jesus got down from the ship and was walking to the shore, it says that this man saw him and ran to Jesus. Ran to Jesus. Ran to Jesus. How important this man was to Jesus. But this guy ran to Jesus and bowed down before Jesus. Let me tell you this. Every demon in hell, every evil spirit has to bow down to Jesus, his name, the power, the anointing. Hallelujah. They have to bow down to Jesus. Because he is God, he is King, he is Lord, and has won victory for us. Amen. Let me tell you this also. They don't have to bow to us. Amen. Now, God has given us power over them because of who Jesus is. Let me tell you this. The enemy, the devil, the demon spirits will tear us apart. But I tell you what, When we get under the blood of Jesus and we get under the shadow of the Almighty and we let the power of God move through us and who we are in Him, and it says that as we use the name of Jesus, that every demon in hell has to bow down to Jesus Christ, because Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God. Hallelujah! That we can stand under the shadow of the Almighty. And no demon in hell could do what they want to do. They have to bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they know it. He still thinks, that's how deceived he is. He still thinks, oh Lucifer, that he can win. He still thinks, people, that he can win the world for himself. But we have news for him. God has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And as you preach the gospel, it will break the demon powers or the evil that is upon their heart and soul as they come to the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to be in Christ. In Christ. God has given us the authority through His Son to destroy the works of the enemy. But we have to stand in Christ. 2 Chronicles 5:21, please. 2 Chronicles 5:21. We have to stand in Christ, people. That's where we are. It says, "For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You see, I have to stand in my God. You and I have to stand in our God. That means we worship and we praise Him and we ask Him to cover us. But we stand in Him. And look, nothing can come against us unless God allows it. God is in authority. God is the one with the power. And there's nothing the enemy can throw at us or do to us unless God allows it to happen. That means God is still in charge no matter what we go through. In charge. And He will lessen it or let it get greater, however He wants to do it, to better us. To become what God wants us to be. But we have to stand in Him, in Christ. Otis, would you please come for just a minute? Now, don't take this person, oh, Lord, you're in trouble. Oh, Lord, you're in trouble. Come right here in the middle, right here. That's good. He's God. Now, don't take it personal, but He's God, okay? I am the Son of God, as we are all sons and daughters of God. God says for us to be in Christ. That means this. He stands as God. This is who we are. The enemy can't see us. Ooh. And when, you know, every once, just like David killed Goliath, we step out and we throw our rocks. It hits him. It hits the enemy. And we come on this side and we throw a scripture. Boom. It cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. But I'm in Christ. This is when we get in trouble, when we're in self. And we're trying to quote scripture, and we're trying to do this, and we're trying to do that, and we get out from underneath the power and the presence of God. We get in trouble. Amen. And the enemy's saying, I see nothing but you. And he's coming at us. But when we get in Christ, when the enemy comes, what does he see? He sees Christ, and he sees the God that defeated him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That brought defeat. Stay in Christ. Stay in Christ. That the enemy can't bring destruction or evil against you in any way. But if it does come, we stand in Christ. And it says our God fights the battle for us. Because He is the great warrior. You may be seated. Thank you for being God this morning. Amen. See, standing in Him And here we see this demonic man bowing down to Jesus. The community had tried to do everything they can to almost get rid of him because he was causing havoc upon their lives. And all of a sudden it says that Jesus turned to the man and cast that evil spirit out. And we know the story where it says there were so many of them that they asked Jesus. They had to have the permission of your God. That's how great he is, people. That's how great. These things out there have to have the permission of our God. Look, makes you want to shout. They said, can we go, please, into that herd of swine? Now, why there were pigs there, I don't know. Because that was unlawful for them to eat. But a good pork chop is pretty good. Barbecued in rice and gravy, whatever, it is good. Pork roast, my God, stuff that thing and let it cook. Everybody's getting hungry. And they went because of the permission of Jesus. He said, go. Go. And they went in and they went off a cliff and into the water and drowned all these. They said it were thousands. Thousands. And next it says that as Jesus was teaching, this demonic man, we need to not say that anymore, I guess now, was sitting there. Y'all, sitting in his right mind, haircut, a bath, thank you, Lord. Clothes on, thank you, Jesus. Nothing holding his hands and feet because he would break the chains. They would just try to do whatever they can. In his right mind. And what he was just listening to Jesus. Listening. Listening. Look, let me tell you this. Every time, look, when you come to Jesus, you get in your right mind.
Yes,
the only right-minded people are Christians that have an encounter with God. It brings us back to where we should be. Yes. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To do things right, to live right. Huh. Amen. Yes. But brought him back to his right mind. And Jesus was about to leave, get in the boat, and this man in his right mind said, Jesus, I'm coming with you. And I can understand, hey, look, you've been rejected by all the people, you know. It was like he was the guy on the other side of the graveyard. Not the tracks, but the graveyard. So he was that kind of person. So they didn't want, you know, whatever. So he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. And Jesus told him no. Jesus told him no. The people that were there in that community wanted to get rid of Jesus. That's a shame. That's a shame. There are some people in this world, when the power of God starts to move, they want to get rid of it because they don't want it. And that's what was happening. They didn't want the power of God to move.
Amen.
They'd rather see that man full of the devil, living with no clothes on, in cutting himself with rocks. But you see, that wasn't their son. That wasn't their uncle. That wasn't, maybe, it could be, we don't know when that wasn't their father. You see, people are important. Now that doesn't mean you don't stand for righteousness and right, because you have to stand for righteousness. And sometimes it brings a little hurt because of the word. But you see, that was a man. And God saw something beyond what the demons had done. You see, sometimes look at some people beyond what you see on the road. But they'd rather see that man back to where he was than free of all that evil. My God, what kind of people are those people? You might say, well, they weren't Christians. Let me tell you something, there's Christians too.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's bad. It's bad. But Jesus said this to the man, and I want to read it to make sure I get it right. In verse 19, he told him, go back. He said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to your friends. Now he calls the man and his friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and had compassion on you. Wow. Go tell great things which the Lord has done and tell of the compassion. You know, look, you know how compassionate God is?
Yes, amen.
And you might say, oh, wow. These people rejected Christ except one man that had a demon spirit. God delivered this man of that demon spirit, brought hope back to this man. And when he wanted to leave, Jesus said, no, go back to those people that rejected me and preach to them. Oh, the mercy of God.
Yes,
you know, we think, well, somebody rejects me, that's it. Say, two feeny, that's enough. They can die and they can go to H-E-L-L. You know, we don't realize that's forever. Not a good place. But Jesus, having compassion, look at this, said, hopefully, he knows there was some that would come one day. And that man went. He said, go tell them of what I have. Go tell them of what I've done for you and have compassion. I wish we had another story about what this man and what happened and what he did. He became a preacher that day. Hallelujah! We're all preachers of the gospel.
Amen.
Some just behind pulpits, and that's it. But we're all preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Might be at Walmart, could be at Dollar General, could be at Larry's, could be anywhere's in Gaydon. Doesn't matter. When we tell about Jesus, we become preachers. Could be at work, wherever we are. But this man became a preacher of the gospel to that lost and dying generation of people. And no telling how many people came to the knowledge of Christ when they saw what God could do. It says the goodness of God is what draws people unto him. We have to tell of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The goodness of God and what he can do and what he will do. And I wonder how many times he stood and preached on the street corner telling people, look, I'm that same man. And this is just funny, but maybe in a three-piece suit, but he's still the same man preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a God we serve. God forgave him of his sins, healed him. And let me tell you, God forgave him. But people, as children of the living God, we got to search our hearts, people.
Yes.
Come on now. We got to remember what the scripture says. Bring up the Our Father prayer. I think it's Matthew 6 or something, or it might be 5. Well, let me get the scripture so you'll know. About forgiveness. Well, I don't know. I have it somewheres. Oh yeah, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. You know, people, I know it's hard living in this life. It's hard. I know how it is to go to work day after day. I know how it is to be so tired at the end of the day that you can't hardly move. I know how it is. I know it. And I know how it is living day to day that things happen to us. Some things by our own, what maybe we said or did that brought pain to our lives, or just things happened and was said to us, and whatever situations. But God says this, that we have to forgive people. We have to forgive. You have to forgive. Or it becomes like, you know, a beaver makes his dam, you know, one stick at a time. One stick at a time. May be just a little canal, whatever, but he starts to build it one stick at a time. He might bring 150 of them in one day, but that's okay. And he builds it. And that water that's flowing from up above, we're coming down the stream, is like the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives. And every time he puts a stick, and then he brings mud and does his stuff, whatever, every stick he brings stops a little bit of that water from flowing down with us. That's just like every time we don't forgive. Every time we choose not to forgive. I like to say it that way. Choose not to forgive. Could be when somebody, you know, just simple things, people. Somebody cuts you off or does something. You wanna shoot them the finger sometime. I mean, you know, that's bad, but you might want to just... But, you know, we say, but there's something in it. It's like you just go. And it could be a certain race of people, and you get mad. Huh? Their ethnicity of whatever it is. And there's prejudice stuff on both, everywhere you go. From black, white, being Mexican, Indian, Asian. I mean, you know, everywhere, people, you know. But we have to make sure that we don't allow that to stay in our hearts. You see? That we purge it forth immediately. You might say, well, how do you do that? That you go to God and say, Lord, I forgive. I forgive. Now look at this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and you can keep it right there, okay? You don't have to go further down. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Christians don't take this seriously. They think when I go to God, I'm going to be forgiven, and he's a forgiving God. Let me tell you, he is a forgiving God. But if we harbor unforgiveness and evil towards anybody, and we know it, that's the difference. See, God will peel the onion back a little bit, little by little, for us to see, okay? And that's the Holy Spirit working. And that's what we want. But when he unveils and takes off that layer and we see something, that we go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And the process starts. And you might say, well, I still feel the same towards him or her, you know? Well, you've done your part. You've gone to God and you're saying, God, I choose to forgive. Maybe it could be a brother or a sister. Could be an aunt or an uncle. Could be a child. Could be a spouse. Could be a father or a mother, you know, whatever. You know, like the world is getting to a place. They want to blame everybody except yourself, you know. But you see, we got to make sure just as this man was forgiven of his sins and healed and born again and saved, I'm telling you, and delivered. We got to keep our hearts right, people. And I mean, it takes work. It takes work. But let me tell you this. God says, work out your salvation with trembling and fear. That doesn't mean we got to work, but that when we see something, that we go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Let me tell you, start praying, Lord, reveal to me. So that you can go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Because it stops the flow of the Spirit of God upon your life and moving in your heart and life. And we don't want anything to stop it. And let me tell you this. This will go on to the day you close your eyes and on your last day or till Jesus comes. Because there's always something happening. Always something that will happen that we may not like or whatever, but we got to keep our hearts right, that we don't allow those little sticks of sin to be put in that flow of the Spirit of God flowing in our hearts and in our lives, that we stay pure. And you might say, well, Pastor, what if I don't feel the same? Even if I go to God and I say, Lord, forgive me, you've done what God says. And when you do what God says in obedience, you are forgiven. Now the Spirit of God has to work in your heart and change us from within So you see, you can't change yourself. It takes the Spirit of God in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. You see, Christians are trying to change themselves. It's like they take off their old clothes and put new clothes on. You're still the same person. You're still evil. You still have a hard heart. Your heart is black. It doesn't help. God does the work on the inside.
Amen.
Let's keep that attitude of forgiveness. The worst thing I ever did, well, not worst thing, thank God for it now, was this wall. You might say, oh my. You don't know what that caused me, that wall. People. I had men acting like babies that I had to console and try to keep and do because they were all fighting against each other because of that wall. I said, Lord, almost, I wish I could tear it down. But I mean, I love it now. You know what I'm saying? In the minute, but I tell you what a shame. What a shame. It's so sad. So sad. You see, we should never allow anything to come into our hearts. We may not agree on everything. We might, hey, but I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm the pastor. You know, I'm Pastor Joe, Brother Joe, or Dad. You know, whatever. But that wall was one of the worst things. I love it now because I like the way it looks and stuff. But just men not acting right because of that. And you know, what a shame. What a shame. And so, you know, you probably don't even know much. But it's so sad that they would allow things to happen like that in their hearts. That's not right. That's not right. God says forgive one another. God says forgive 70 times 70 a day. It's like, oh my God, Lord, at least you could have put a year. You know, at least give us some leverage, you know. Let us harbor a little bit, you know, here or there, you know. But you see, it's so important to God that we don't allow anything. That means, look, God says if there is anything between you and your wife or you and your spouse, you know what he says? If there's arguments or, you know, and you don't get things right, he says he won't even answer your prayer. We take that lightly. Oh, I'm telling you. We got to keep things right between and moving. He doesn't even answer our prayer. You know what he's saying? Go get that right. Because he looks at you as a married couple. He looks at you as one. One. Yet two people, but yet one in the spirit realm. With him, just as this man was forgiven of his sin, God has forgiven us, and we are to leverage that out too, of forgiveness towards people. And you might say, well, they don't deserve it. I understand. Some people don't deserve a hill of beans. They don't. But it's not on what they deserve. It's what the Word says and what God says. That's what we follow, and we do. And let me tell you, some things are easier than others, huh? But I tell you what, get with God. Just get alone with God today. Don't go one more day and say, Lord, you see this. And list it. You might need to write it down and say, Lord, you see this, you see this. And get it right. From the time you were a child to where you are today, whatever needs to be done, you know, whatever needs to be done, and get it right. And saying, Lord, I give it to you. I forgive him or her or whatever situation. Pastors, people, I mean everything. And get things right, people. Because I tell you what, that demonic man that we know of, he was forgiven of his sin. And he was given a mandate. After he was forgiven of his sin, God says, now this is the mandate. Go and tell the people. You see, we get things right first, then he gives us a mandate to go and accomplish. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God is a good God, people. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you would.